Amen. I'm thankful to be able to open the Word of God with you. Would you turn your Bible again to Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the first part of verse 14. Ephesians 6, first part of verse 14. Last week, you and I began a sermon series entitled Under Armor, Engaged in War, Enabled for Victory. And we began by talking about the reality of warfare, our call to warfare, realizing that we have an enemy and the conflict that comes with that warfare. And then, of course, we ended on a great note talking about our opportunity to conquer our enemy in warfare. And we talked about how we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And so I ended that message last Sunday morning by challenging you to suit up. To go under armor, to be in spiritual armor so that we could face against our enemy. And so I want to leapfrog off of that and continue this thought. Because the day and the moment that you believed on Jesus, when you called Him to be the Savior and Lord of your life, and the day that He chose you to be a part of His family, you became engaged in spiritual warfare and the real battle began. Now the fight is a struggle. For who will be all the time the king of your heart, the king of your soul. And so we know and believe that, yes, Jesus is for us, that God loves us. That's a sure thing. But we've also got to remember on the other side, there's a devil who hates us. And one of the most important truths of warfare that we can learn and remember is that we are always in warfare. We are always in warfare. And if you're in a war, that means that there are two opposing sides. Okay? To restate what I said last week, life is a battleground. It's not a playground. And so this is not, this battle is not, you know, won by this 21st century desensitized mentality where, you know, everybody wins. And everybody gets a trophy, and nobody should ever be hurt or go through painful circumstances. And this world that we live in, everybody wants us to be so sensitive to everybody's feelings, because if we feel this way or that way, then we've got to be right, right? This is war. There are two opposing sides. There is a God side. There's a righteous side, a side for truth, an army of holy, born-again warriors fighting in the power of the Lord. And they're going head-to-head. We're going head-to-head with a super spiritual, supernatural enemy. And his aim is to destroy you. His aim is to bring you down. His aim is to ruin you. His aim is to use whatever it takes. And I mean whatever it takes to make us blind spiritually, to make us destitute, purposeless, useless, deceived, miserable forever. This is a war. And there's evil fighting against you, in your thoughts, in your mind, in your body. Think about it. Your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your hands and feet, in your soul, in your spirit. What you receive, what you take in, what you believe, all of that is at stake. Your witness and your labor for Christ, all of that is at stake. We are in a war and everything is up for claim. And so it's been a week since I've seen most of you. And so I want to ask everybody, have you been at war this week? Anybody been in a battle this week? Yeah? Okay, I want to ask you just some questions to consider, you know, as we think about the warfare. Have you at some point this week been tempted to believe any lie from your enemy? You know, you've been tempted to disregard the truth of God's Word and do your own thing. Have you received something that was said to you maybe in frustration or anger or rage that's not really true of you, but you received it as truth? Have you heard lies and slander and blasphemy about God and wondered, are those people right? Have you been in warfare? A second thing to consider, have you seen Satan's work in the minds and hearts of unbelievers this week? Have you seen that? Remember, we're in a war. Have you seen the evidence of people living without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If so, we see the evidence of warfare. Have you been tempted to sin this past week? Anybody? Okay? That's another sign of warfare. Have you struggled to discipline yourself in the Word of God, in prayer, being engaged with the body of believers as a part of the church? Have you been tempted this week to skip out? Have you been tempted this week to miss out, to sleep right through it, to listen to your own understanding, your own logic, your own reasoning and wisdom instead of His and His Word? If so, you've been in warfare. Maybe you haven't realized that. How about this? Have you heard God's Word this week or read this week in the Word of God and have struggled to apply it, have struggled to live it out, have struggled to remember it, have struggled to obey it? Anybody? I've heard the Word, but I've failed to apply, I've failed to believe, I've failed to live it out. Here, Satan, he doesn't want the Word to take root in your heart. He loves to see you play church, right? Not really get anything out of it. Have you been attacked physically this week? With sickness or with disease? You know, not all sickness and disease is by the enemy's hand, of course. Just know that he wants you to worry about it. He wants you to quit. He wants you to not even think about turning it over to Jesus. Listen, we're in a battle even physically. How about this? Have you been at war with the wrong enemy this week? Remember, there's only one, right? There's only one enemy. Think about how you've treated your spouse this week. Think about how you've treated your parents this week. Think about how you've treated your siblings this week, your children, your coworkers, your church family, your peers, your friends. Think about your words. Think about your attitudes. Remember, only one enemy. How many enemies have you made this week? Might be in warfare. How about this question? Has a plan to serve Jesus' own mission or a plan to exalt Christ and be about kingdom work, has that been attacked this week? Satan hates everything evangelism. Satan hates everything discipleship. Satan hates everything kingdom focused or mission focused. He will fight against it. Remember, we're in a war. Just last question. Have you yourself felt accusation, guilt, spiritual opposition, and defeat? Because you know that at the heart of the enemy, he is an accuser, and he'll cause you to question everything from your faith to your salvation to your victory in Christ. We are in a war, and we need to suit up. You need the armor of God. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, specifically verses 13 through 18, he lays out the battle plan very well. He uses a parallel to the armor of a Roman soldier and what he would wear to what we should wear as warriors, as soldiers in the army of God in spiritual battle. You'll notice in your spiritual armor that all the pieces, as we read through them, all the pieces are interconnected. All of them must be used in war. All of them are necessary for victory. This is not a pick and choose kind of armor suit. You know, we don't have that option. You've got to wear it all. So everybody say it. I'll wear it all. See, if you don't wear it all, you're more prone to attack and defeat. You need to wear it all, even the pieces that you don't think you need. I can remember now being a coach. I don't have to worry about it as much, but I can remember in baseball and football. All boys are encouraged. No, actually, now they're required to wear a protective cup. And for all of you kids and adults who don't know what an athletic cup is, just Google it. Or ask your mom and daddy about it. Or just stay tuned. You'll figure it out. Okay. And some guys don't think that this is an important piece of your uniform. So, it's forgotten. I don't know how many times it's been forgotten at practice. And I've seen it happen, and I've been guilty as well. A play is made, and a young man is hit between the legs. And is the kind that makes your eyes cross. And somebody gets hurt, and you wish you'd have it on. And what happens is, at random times, a coach will line up his team, and he'll just say, accountability, cup check. And he'll take a stick, and you know he'll act like he's going to hit you there. And you'd better say, Coach, don't. I need all my equipment. Can I go to the bathroom, please? Right? You need it all. You need it all. Let's just say in the warfare, you need all the body armor. no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter whether or not you think that it belongs to church. As we study this armor, you need it all. Don't skip over it. Don't miss out. Don't disregard it. All of the armor is necessary. So let's together read Ephesians 6, verse the first part of 14. It says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." Simple, right? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Just to give it further, you know, further meaning, stand against the attacks of Satan by first putting your waist or girding up your loins, your waist, with the belt called truth. The first thing that you and I must have on at all times in this spiritual battle is a belt called truth, a truth belt. Everybody has their favorite superhero. Some like Iron Man, some like Superman, some like Spider-Man. Some today are beginning to like Thor. I like Thor. But my favorite has always been Batman. Always loved Batman. I love his story. I love the villains that he fights. I love the city of Gotham. Okay, the Batmobile. Even though he's just a rich bachelor who has some experience with martial arts, he's still my kind of superhero, even though he's not really a superhero, right? And one thing that Batman is known for is his utility belt, right? His utility belt. In his utility belt, he has his batarangs and his bat cuffs and his bat vision goggles and his underwater bat breather and his bat grappler, all kinds of bat stuff. And he just pulls it out of that utility belt. And so he does that so that the Caped Crusader can fight against crime. The problem is, Batman's not real. Right? Just a side note here, for those who think superheroes are real. We were at VBS this last year, and Clint Pace and I, we had kindergarten, first, second grade boys. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. That was an experience. One night in Bible study, Gary Carpenter, he was trying his best. We had 13 of these kindergarten, first, second grade boys. Trying his best to teach a lesson about Emmanuel, God being with us. See, I paid attention, Gary. I paid attention. God with us. And somebody asked in the classroom, "Is God real?" And of course, we're like, "Yes, absolutely, God's real." Gary went on to say, he makes the statement, he says, "God saved the day by sending us Jesus." That's a good statement. Yes, I agree. God saved the day. And some child speaks up and says, "Like a superhero?" And Gary says, yeah, like a superhero. And child says, "I believe in Spider-Man." And here it went. "Spider-Man's not real." And then somebody on the other side, "Yes, he is." "Who says?" "Have you ever seen the movies?" "Everything's true at the movies." And I could just see, we're losing them. We're losing them. And I just broke in and I said, "Boys, I'm Spider-Man." "And if you don't hush, I'm going to show you how real God is by sending you to him." Okay, I didn't really say that. I'm just kidding. But the conversation about real superheroes, yeah, that really happened. That really happened. Well, that was a random thought. But let me show you a real belt of crime fighters. I want to thank Caleb Edwards so much for giving me this for today. You know, this is a police belt. Notice there are no weapons in it because I just said don't put the gun in there, and he took all of them away from me, every one of them. But this is a police utility belt, and it's been called the Sam Brown, right, utility belt. It holds police stuff, right, Caleb? Yeah, everything a policeman needs for survival. It's right here in this belt, correct? So radio. Radio's not radio. Where does radio go? Somewhere here. Oh, I'm going to be a policeman. Radio goes here. Handcuffs here. Oh man, I didn't watch them unloaded. By the way, I just noticed. Handcuffs go there, and then the holster and gun. Holster's here, but no gun. It's there. Chemical spray. It goes somewhere. Flashlight, you carry a flashlight. Baton, no baton. Okay, we're not in England. Batteries, you carry batteries. I said no batteries. Gloves, donut coupons. Yeah. coffee dispenser. I'm just kidding. The police officer needs this belt. You have to wear this belt every day, right? You have to. Okay. You have to wear this belt for duty. What's on this belt could save a policeman's life. What's on this belt could save someone else's life. Okay, it's the same. It's the same. Thank you so much, Caleb, and thank you for your service, by the way. Thank you. Yes. Praise the Lord for our police officers. It's the same for the Roman soldier and for the Christian who puts on the armor of God. How many of you today are wearing a belt? How many of you are wearing a belt? Yeah? We wear belts. We wear belts. I always wear a belt. But we wear belts to hold things, you know, together in order, in place. Keeps our pants up, our shirts tucked in. When the belt is on, you're ready to move. Paul writes, gird your loins, belt in your loins with truth. Paul said, in this spiritual war, you're going to need to wear a belt. And that belt's name is truth. The word for truth, okay, the Greek word for truth is translated content as opposed to falsehood, as opposed to false doctrine, as opposed to, this is my favorite, false living. It's not so much an action of putting on the belt as much as it is an attitude of living in truth. This is my favorite way to translate, and I really do believe this is what Paul was talking about when he says, belt yourself with truth. It means walk in a way, be ready to live in a way that is of the truth, someone of character, someone of integrity, honesty, sincerity, commitment. Satan has launched a war against truth. All truth. Remember, your enemy is the father of lies. Jesus said of Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning and abides not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He's a clever liar too. He disguises his lies to give them the appearance of truth. Satan knows what the Word of God says too. Remember Genesis? He knows what it says, but he'll distort it. He's dangerous, okay? But I want to share something with you. A believer in Christ, girded in truth, girded with truth, is far more dangerous. We need to be battle ready, though. We're far more dangerous than our enemy. But we need to be battle ready. I want to share with you quickly three things about the belt of truth. Here's the first. Hold on your seatbelts. The first is this. The belt of truth is about your readiness for warfare. The belt of truth is about your readiness for warfare. In Paul's day, people would wear long tunics. Thank God we don't live there anymore. Okay, especially us guys. Wear these long tunics, and they were like a robe. Even a soldier would wear a tunic. Okay, a tunic is this big piece of square material. It has a hole in it for your head, two holes in it for your arms, and that was about it. Just a free flowing piece of fabric around your body. But if you're in a war, you wouldn't want that thing flapping around, okay? And you wouldn't want it to cause you to stumble and to fall. You would hate to be a and I would too. I would hate to be a casualty in war because my dress was too long, right? Right? And because I wasn't holding up my pants, or I wasn't off my belt wasn't on, I was sagging. 2 Timothy 2:3-5 says, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You must not become entangled with the affairs of this life. So I apply that verse to this. In so many words, you can't fight if you're tangled up in your robe. And your robe would be like the affairs of this life, the distractions of this world. That'll do that to you. You've got to break free of the world, and you've got to gird yourself up in truth and engage in warfare. Now, wouldn't it be something, just a thought, wouldn't it be something if you were selected into the service and they said, your first day there, they said, now, you're in, we're glad you're here. They don't do that at all, do they, Stu? No. We're glad that you're here. Just make yourself at home. We want you to be comfortable. Join us when you can. It'd be nice, guys, it'd be nice, ladies, if you would wear our uniform. It don't work that way at all, right, William? No, it wouldn't at all. It'd be nice if everybody matched everybody else. It'd be nice if you could please take these orders from us. You know what? They don't do that at all. When you're in the military, you're now a part of them, and you are under the command and authority and rule of the commander chief officer. You don't eat what you want, and you don't do what you want, and you don't even breathe when you want. Okay? When you go into service, you're cut off from the affairs of the world. Okay? Even good things. But even good things can distract you. Civilian life is gone, and you do what they say. And it's all about prepping for war. It's serious. So when a soldier went into war, he'd wear his belt. A soldier would wear his belt, and this belt was made out of leather. And he would tighten the leather belt up, and he would take the four corners of his tunic, and he would pull it up through that belt, or he would push that tunic, he pulled up through that belt, and then he would tighten it, fasten it. And that what it would do, it would give his legs some freedom. Some freedom to run, some freedom to move. That's what Paul had in mind here, having your waist belted up in truth. Now, here's something interesting about Roman soldiers. On this belt, there would be a strap that would be connected to the backside, much like the Sam Brown belt. Okay, this is that police belt is just a utility belt, common belt. But there used to be a Sam Brown belt, and it would have a strap, and it would go over his shoulder, but it would connect to the backside, and the backside would be where your sword would be fastened. So I want you to think about it this way. The sword, you know, is a sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And so you've got God's Word attached to the belt of truth. Truth is revealed by the Word of God. You need this belt, don't you? Whether you like to wear them or not. You need this belt. What Paul is saying here is, be ready. Put your belt on. You need your belt. For you're going to be in a battle. And your best measure of offense is the sword of the Spirit. And it's attached to this thing that's holding your waist. Okay, it's around your waist. And it's held by truth. That's good stuff right there, okay? Put your belt on. It's an attitude of readiness. An attitude that says, I'm ready. I'm prepared for battle. I'm dressed. I'm alert. I'm ready. Now to be girded in truth means you are serious about it. No hypocrisy. No hypocrisy allowed. Which leads me to the second point. The belt of truth is about your responsibility in warfare. Your responsibility, your duty, your commitment to warfare. You know what? This is just a sad reality, folks. This is a sad reality. Many Christians never actually get the belt on. They kind of just flip-flop through life. Go with the flow. Because why? There's little commitment. Okay, there's little responsibility. If you're not girded in truth, you know there's no regard to living a life of integrity. That doesn't matter to you. Living a life of truth, that doesn't matter to you. Of honor, of character, of sincerity, a commitment to truth. You see, we like to say, and this might still toe shoes. Everybody got them on. We like to say we know about the truth. We like to say that we know some of that truth. We know that God loves us. We know that God has sent Jesus. He has saved us. But here's the thing, folks. Knowing it and believing it and then living that out in the world with conviction, integrity, boldness, sincerity, truth, that's hard to do. You see, most of us here know that Christians are called to holy lives. Most of us would know that. That believers in Jesus Christ are called to be different. They're called to be disciple makers and disciplined. But again, there's a difference between knowing it here and knowing it here and living it out. You know how I know? Because so few Christians actually fight. So many become casualties. They are deceived easily. They believe the lies easily. They take the bait of the enemy easily. They fall into temptation easily. And then they're caught. That's why so many fall into sin. That's why so many Christians give in to lust and passions and fleshly desires. That's why they're so easily slain. Because they're not girded with truth. Their waist isn't ready. They haven't taken up the responsibility to live a life of honor to the Lord. Hebrews 12 says that sin and weight easily besets us, easily entangled us. That means catches us off guard, trips us up, slows us down, knocks us out of the race. Why? We're not ready for battle. We don't have our belt on, and we easily fall over our own tunic. The belt of truth is about our readiness and responsibility to live out an authentic life of truth. What Paul is saying here is, look, you've got to realize this, folks. This is war. This is a real war. This is the most intense war that you'll ever be a part of, okay? You need to get ready, get serious, be responsible. You don't have time to go through this life saying you're a Christian, but living in total hypocrisy. Amen. All right? So he says, be sincere, have the right attitude, a heart ready for battle. Why? Because living a double life makes you a primary target of the enemy. Listen, Satan loves the hypocrite. Okay, it's kind of hard to say that Satan loves somebody. Satan loves the hypocrite. Satan okays hypocrisy. Satan okays the person who carries a Bible around, but they don't read it. He don't have a problem with you carrying your Bible to church. He's got a problem if you read and apply it. But Satan's okay with the person who says that, yes, I believe this book. But you can't say the first thing about this book. Okay, Satan's good with that. You don't know what kind of authority it has. You don't know what it's about. You don't live it. You just say, I believe it. That's how crazy stuff, false doctrine gets spread. People just say, the Bible says it. And because I heard somebody say it, I'm going to believe it because they said the Bible says it. That's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, folks, is when we come in here and we sing, I surrender all. But when that offering plate is passed around, you chose to put in a $5 bill saying that's all I've got, but you've got plans to spend $50 elsewhere this week on fleshly desires. That's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is singing, I surrender all. But you know full and well that when God calls you to live in holiness, to make decisions that don't gratify your sinful nature, you won't do it because you love your sin too much. You love your habit too much. You love your addiction too much. You've got too much to gain, you know, from this world, and you think that you've got so much to lose by following Jesus. That's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is when you go to school this week and you talk this really big game about what God did in your life over the summer and how you went to church or a mission trip and you repented of your sin. You go to FCA on Friday morning. But on Friday night, you're still at the party. That's hypocrisy. That's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is saying, hey, it happens. Believe on Jesus. I agree with God's word to love my neighbors. I believe, you know, everything the word of God says. Hypocrisy is saying I love my neighbors as myself, yet I disrespect my parents on a daily basis. That's hypocrisy. Saying I love my neighbors as myself, yet I disrespect my teacher or my coach or my pastor or my friends at school or someone I don't like. Hypocrisy is saying I love Jesus. I love his word. I agree with his word, but I can't stand being around that person because they look like this or act like this or talk like that. That's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is saying that you're a sheep when you know full and well that you're just a wolf. Brennan Manning said, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians are Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, but they deny him with their lifestyles. They say that Jesus is Lord. They say they believe that. But they walk every Sunday out of those doors unchanged and they deny him with their life. Church, we are called to live lives of responsibility, of integrity, of truth. You can't straddle the fence, folks, of truth and perversion. It doesn't work. It never works out, okay? You have to commit to whose side you're on, who truly is your Lord, who truly is your Savior, your Master, your Commander, okay? What's holding you together? Because if it's not Jesus, if it's not the truth of Jesus, you're falling apart. Don't let a hypocritical lifestyle hinder your walk with Christ. That's why we're here today. Let's get serious about it. Let's get serious about the warfare. Let's get serious about the fight. Let's get serious about being true to God. Do what 2 Timothy 2:3 says, I'm willing, ready, responsible, committed to fight, to suffer, to endure for Christ, for I am a good soldier of Christ. He has called me. He has chosen me. He has set me apart by His grace and salvation to be in this war. And I want to battle. It's in my heart. It's my calling. It's my responsibility, my honor to fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's be ready and responsible to live a life of truth, because your enemy is prepared to combat you, retaliate against you with lies. Satan will lie straight to you. This is what he lies about, folks. Satan will lie to you that he is stronger than God. Satan will lie to you that God's word isn't true, that God's word isn't relative, that God's word is boring, that God's word isn't powerful or authoritative. And he'll lie to you about God's person. Satan will lie to you about God's salvation and love. He'll lie to you about His intentions for your life and His plans for your life. Satan will lie to you about the truth. He would say, Satan would say, that there is no thing as absolute truth. We've heard that before, haven't we? Satan will lie to you about himself. Satan will tell you he's not real. Okay, Satan will tell you, he'll lie to you about your family. He'll lie to you about your church family. Satan will lie to you about your commitment, your responsibility to follow Jesus Christ by saying, it's no big deal. You've got your whole life ahead of you. Satan will also lie to you about eternity. Listen, when I was a child, before I knew Jesus, I believed that lie. That's my story. That's my testimony. I truly believed that I would go to heaven because I was good. I believe that. And I believe that God could not possibly send a 13-year-old kid to hell who had been to church his whole life. Satan will lie to you about eternity. Will you live up to the challenge of living in truth? Not just saying it, but living it. Third point, then I'm done. This point may help you the most, so listen in. The belt of truth is about renewing your mind and heart daily for warfare. Now, what is truth? What is truth? Pilate asked Jesus that. Okay, on the day of his crucifixion. What is truth? That is an age-old question. It's something that is presented all over the world by countless people through countless sources, countless venues. It seems that everybody wants you to buy into and listen to their truth. Their version of the truth. This news media says they're right. But then the next moment later, this news media says, that's fake news. We're real news. Right? We're going through that now. This study says coffee is bad for you. But then 2 days later, this study says coffee is good for you. Same thing with chocolate. All right? How about this? This study says that we've researched, and you know what? This medicine, not good for you. But then just a few moments later, somebody else says, the newest research says, you know, that truth has been shifted. This medicine is now good for you. The doctor says, take this treatment. What is truth? Truth is not about how you feel. Right? Truth is not about how you feel. My feelings can be wrong, right? My feelings can be swayed. My feelings can be bodily gas. Right? My feelings can be rooted and grounded in self and in sin. Truth is not what I think about either, or about something either. So truth is not about how I feel, and truth is not what I think about something either. Just because I think it doesn't make it true. All right? If you think you are invincible, and if you think you are immortal, then right after service, let's put that to the test. Let's all stand in the parking lot and try to stop one of those two-ton vehicles that's going about 25 miles per hour because the preacher's 25 minutes late, and see how invincible you are. There goes your truth. Let's not do that. Let's not do that. Good definition of truth. Alfred Jespin, he said, truth is that which is constant and unchangeable, something on which someone can rely, which will prove to be true in the future. Then, now, always, faithfulness is truth. Constancy is truth. Dependable is truth. Reliable truth. Enduring truth. Where in the world do you see that kind of truth? Who else do you see that kind of truth from except for Jesus Christ and the Word of God? You don't find it anywhere. Okay, you won't find constant truth in medicine. You won't find constant truth in philosophy, in ideologically. You won't find truth in evolving man-made religions or man-made theologies. Okay, those things always shift. Those things always change. You won't even find it in the physical place on earth where truth is supposed to be upheld, the Supreme Court. Truth in all of those places change. They evolve. Okay, they prove to be true one day, and then later on, it's modified to the needs of the people, to fit the needs of the people for your life. The only place and person I can think of for truth that is constant, unchangeable, something that which I can rely and put my faith and my heart into and test and later prove to be true in the future is the Word of God and the person of God. The reason is simple, yet it's profound, life-changing, that all truth is linked to an unchanging, unending, always dependable, original, faithful God. And you can trust everything He says, anything He does or has done or will do, anywhere He leads, anything He calls you to. He has never lied, the Word of God says. He will never lie, Numbers 23 says. He keeps His Word always. He is faithful to His promises. Psalm 31:5. David called the Lord God of truth. Psalm 33, verse 4. The Word is right and true. Jesus said, the truth of God's Word will never pass away. All our things will. His Word will never pass away. Genesis 21 says that God is from everlasting. Now, who else, what else, where else can you find someone like our God? You won't. And you can't. If you could, find other avenues of truth that would give you soul satisfying, okay, fruit from the divine, there'd be no need for faith in Christ. There'd be no need for Christ. There'd be no need for salvation. Your own truth could save you. But that's just it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God is the standard by which all truth is revealed, okay? While all truth is known, truth is forced to go toe-to-toe with God to see if it is true or false. And that's why Paul writes, first thing, so you can be ready for warfare, so that you can be responsible, you need to renew your heart, mind daily by girding your waist with truth. And you can only do that by living in and allowing God's truth to penetrate your life, your heart, your mind, your soul. Renewing your heart and life can only be done with the truth of God's Word. You look in Romans 12, 1 through 2. Paul writes that, I urge you, I intensely exhort you, I implore you by the mercies of God to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are our minds renewed? How are our souls refined and revived? How are our hearts refined and revived? By readying ourselves to be with Jesus. How do I be with Jesus? I need to speak to Him in prayer, but I need to be in His Word. All right? You can trust in the truth of God's Word. Think about this, okay? Think about what God has done to enable you victory in this war. Has He not redeemed you in Christ Jesus? Has He not already clothed you in His righteousness? Has He not already brought you into His kingdom? Has He not already covered you in His grace, in His love, in His joy, in His peace? Has He not sealed you for the day of redemption? Has He not given you a suit of spiritual armor to put on? And has He not promised you victory? What more do you need? He's trustworthy. He's tried. He's true. He's faithful.
Church, let's not ever head out into battle without girding ourselves, readying ourselves, taking the responsibility to renew our hearts and minds with truth. It's a lifestyle. It's a commitment. Okay, it's consecration. It is a war you are called to. And listen, this is a neat thing to know. The strap that held the sword that connected to the belt, on the front side, for a soldier, they would adorn these straps with jewels, with emblems, with decorations of victory. This is neat. It was a way to remind the soldier, as he headed into battle, of past victories, of past accomplishments. But it was also a reminder to his enemies that I have won before and I will win again. Think about this. You live in the victory of Christ. And your belt of truth every day is emblemed and decorated and adorned with the fact that God has had the victory and He continues to give you the ability to have the victory through Him. So truth is a lifestyle. We need to know it, but we need to live it out. Truth is an attitude. Truth is an agreement that we must make every day as we engage in warfare. So let me ask you, are you ready? Are you committed to the responsibility to renew your heart and mind in truth so that you can live a life of truth? Listen, the Christian life is meant to be so much more than mediocrity. Don't fall into the trap and temptation of being lazy, lethargic, going through the motions of an unchanged life where nothing ever happens, where no victories are ever won, where Christ is not exalted, where truth is not in your character or your witness or your priority. Church, commit to live and breathe every day in the truth of Christ. Let's suit up, put on the full armor of God, and claim victory. It begins by walking in truth. I'm going to ask Austin and Joey to come. Joey, don't sing until Austin, you play, and Joey, you don't sing until I leave, okay? Thanks very much. All right, I encourage you today, and I invite you today to respond if you're willing and if God's calling. Now, here's some things to consider before we head out today. One question is this: will I resolve to live a life of truth? That's a question that we've got to answer. Will I resolve today before my Lord and before my church and within myself to suit up and put on the belt of truth, to live a life of honesty, integrity, to live a life that says, I believe, but I also live what I say I believe, so that you can stand. The Word says you stand and you gird yourself in this truth so that you can stand against the lies and the deceptions of the enemy. Remember, this is war, and the place to fight and win this war begins by you humbly asking your God to move in your heart, to change your life, and to move on you in such a way that He shows you, I've got the authority, I've got the full reign, I've got the lordship, I've got the victory, but you've got to humble yourself before me and ask me to move and gird you with truth. Do I resolve to do that today? Here's the second thing I need to ask. Is there anyone here who needs to come to Christ, realizing that truth is about Him, that truth is the way to your salvation, to your freedom, to your victory, and that truth is found in Jesus Christ? Is there anyone here today that would say, I need to come in contact with the truth and be changed by the truth of Jesus forever? Final question. Is there anyone here who is losing daily because you're not suiting up, because you're not taking the battle seriously, because you really are buying into the lies that the enemy spreads to you? You are called to truth. The call here today is to repent, to turn from your sins, to seek God's forgiveness and gird yourself with truth before you walk out this building. Is there anyone in here in need of strength, encouragement, and prayer? You realize that in this war, okay, we're in the war and we need prayers. If you need prayer, I'll minister to you. I'll be glad to. There's plenty of people that will be glad to do that today. But the call of God is this today. Let's be obedient. Let me pray for you. Then you respond as God leads, okay? Lord, I pray that in this time that we would take it so seriously that we would be reflective upon the very word of God. You said in your word, first thing as we suit up in the armor of God, we need to stand therefore by girding our waist in truth. And the truth is, we know the truth that's within us, or the lack of truth within us. We know whether or not we are ready for warfare. And I pray, God, that again, for the second week, that we would take seriously the battle that we are in. It's fought, it's won, it's lost every day by people who choose to commit themselves to Christ or neglect Christ, reject Christ. Oh God, would we see the need for readiness? I pray today for those who need to take up their responsibility in living a life of integrity and truth. And I know no better moment than right now to commit our lives to living in truth. The world needs to see deeply committed followers of Jesus Christ in every way. Help us to gird our loins with truth. And Lord, if there's someone today that is struggling and battling and feeling like they're losing, I pray that they know that they can be comforted by the prayers of God's people, that we can rally around them and encourage them and lift them up to you and help them in this war. Nobody fights alone. And so, God, if there's someone in need of prayer, in need of strength in any area of their life, I pray that they would be comfortable enough to move and respond so that we can minister and so that we can point them to you. Lord, would you have your way in this invitation time? And I pray that we would be reflective, but also that we would be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, you come if you need to, okay? The altar's open. You come.